From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. Time for your comments, but first this correction to a story we ran on Friday when South Korea held a public funeral service for ex-President No Mu-hyun 6 days after he committed suicide. In his story, reporter Anthony Kuhn said No lost the most recent presidential election. Not true. In South Korea, presidents are limited to a single five-year term.
Now, your letters. Ina Jaffe's story on Blob Live, an open mic night in Southern California for struggling entrepreneurs, prompted Daniel Schwalbe of Seattle to write this. I couldn't help but chuckle when I heard in your story that the company that funds Blob Live was the credit card company Advanta. I've been a business customer of Advanta for over 10 years, and just this week received a notice that Advanta is folding and will shut down any and all business credit card accounts. It just goes to show that in this economy, nothing is for certain.
For our ongoing How Low Can You Go cooking challenge to make a meal for under $10, we interviewed Valerie Gaino, and her recipe for dal, an Indian lentil dish, got raves from Mary Lawton of Houston, who writes, "Lentils taste great and are easy to prepare and cheap. Thank you for helping more people understand that eating for less does not mean going out to a fast food restaurant."
If you have questions, comments, or complaints about our program, we'd like to hear from you. You can write to us by visiting our website, npr.org, and clicking on Contact Us at the top of the page. In these tough economic times, many charity balls have been canceled or significantly toned down. Well, one charity ball is king in Washington, D.C. It's the Opera Ball, and its guest list is a who's who of Washington: Supreme Court justices, cabinet members, senators, congressmen, even the ship captain who was held hostage by Somali pirates. This week's ball has had to trim its sails. NPR's Nina Totenberg, opera lover, daughter of a musician, and soprano manque, has this story.
That's the Washington National Opera's current production of Puccini's Turandot, complete with dancers, acrobats, a huge chorus, lush sets and costumes, and gonzo stars from Russia to Argentina. Multiple productions like this come with a $30 million plus annual price tag that also pays for an outreach program for local schools and a school to train the next generation of opera stars.
I've always said it's the height of Western civilization, opera. It brings together theater, music, everything.
For Washington National Opera President Kenneth Feinberg, opera is his passion and salvation. In the aftermath of 9/11, when he was put in charge of negotiating money settlements for the families of victims, opera was the way he dealt with the sadness and the horror.
I would escape by going to any local opera company, big, small, and just try and lose myself for a few hours, replenish the batteries by listening to opera.
Now, in an era of belt tightening, Funding and promoting a grandiose art form is a tricky business, especially when you have $150,000 less to spend on the ball this year. Yes, $150,000 less, which leaves a paltry $250,000.
In order to make millions of dollars, you have to make sure that you provide our would-be benefactors with a memorable evening.
When people walk in, we want them to go, wow.
Susan Lehrman is the chairman and underwriter of the cost of the Opera Ball.
Every time they turn a corner, they'll see something else and they'll go, wow.
This year's Opera Ball is at the spare Bauhaus-style German Embassy residence.
I'm Klaus Chariot, the German ambassador to the United States, and we are standing here at the German residence in Washington, D.C.
We're standing above a huge terraced garden that looks all the way across Washington to the Potomac River and Virginia on the other side. This year's ball is a very classy 15-ring circus with fountains dancing to Wagner, a champagne bar, cakes that are replicas of the world's opera houses, and a recreation of the Berlin Wall on this 20th anniversary of it being torn down.
In one of the side rooms, you will see a movie showing not only how the wall came down, but also Maestro Rostropovich playing his cello in front of the wall.
The Washington National Opera staff spends months working on every detail of the ball. For 50 years, it's been a joint production with the world's ambassadors posted in Washington. The evening starts with small dinners at more than 24 embassies around town and merges into a formal ball. This year's extravaganza features greeters dressed in costumes from German operas, from Mozart to Wagner. Across town, Washington National Opera costume designer Marcia LeBeouf leads me into the bowels of what she calls the Magic Factory.
You don't let very many people down here.
The 25,000-square-foot costume-making and storage area, complete with 10,000 pieces, and an army of 25 stitchers, drapers, and fitters. LeBeouf and event planner Patty Humphrey talk about using the headdress worn by the Queen of the Night in the last production of The Magic Flute.
She comes in suspended on a moon or something.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just an absolutely fabulous entrance. I don't want the entrance.
I don't think we can give you the moon, Patty,
no.
But we might be able to give you the stars.
Okay, we'll go for that.
I don't have that headdress here anymore. Mm-hmm. I can either get it or we can come up with something.
The ball planners are trying to make do without anyone realizing they're spending a lot less. Unlike last year's ball at the French Embassy, this one is not sold out yet. Big donors have filled in some of the financial void. As for the rest, it's all an illusion to keep the opera alive. And if you, dear listener, are rolling your eyes, you may not realize that lots of the songs you hear in the movies or on TV or even kids' cartoons are from the opera.
Kill the rabbit, kill the rabbit, kill the rabbit.
Kill the rabbit? Almighty warrior.
Bugs Bunny sang Wagner. Here Comes the Bride is Wagner too. And then there's Toreador from Bizet's Carmen.
Toreadora, don't spit on the flora, use the cuspidora.
Nina Tuttenberg, NPR News, Washington.
We could sing these credits, but we won't. Our program is directed by Greg Dixon, edited by Allison McAdam, and produced by Neil Carruth. The technical director is Ivan Burketh, assisted by Peter Alina. The engineering supervisor is Robert Jackson.
At the Washington desk, Ron Elving, Beth Donovan, Ken Rudin, Kathy Shaw, Barbara Campbell, Matoni Maturi, and Evie Stone. Our executive producer is Christopher Turpin. I'm Robert Siegel.
I'm a few bars, Robert. I'm Melissa Block. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. From the Doris Duke Charitable Foundation, supporting the performing arts, environmental conservation, medical research, and the prevention of child abuse. And from Frederica and Howard Stevenson, helping low-income students access education through the Summer Search Foundation at summersearch.org. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
Sides are going to have to give, and it's not going to be an easy path, but one that I think we can achieve.
An interview with President Obama as he prepares to leave for the Middle East.
Today is Monday, June 1st, and this is All Things Considered from NPR News.
In this hour, NPR's interview with the president on the prospects for a peace agreement in the Middle East.
Also these stories, billions more to bail out General Motors as it seeks bankruptcy protection.
This new GM will be built from the strongest parts of our business, including our best brands and our very finest products.
We'll talk with a retired worker from one of the GM plants that'll be shut down.
Also, the latest on the Air France flight that disappeared over the Atlantic en route from Rio de Janeiro to Paris.
And the earliest frontier of recorded sound, a recording from 1857.
Those stories coming up after this news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. As General Motors enters bankruptcy, the state of Michigan is dealing with the prospect of even more job losses. From member station WDET in Detroit, Sarah Swick reports.
GM says it will close 11 plants and idle three more. Seven of the affected plants are in Michigan. One is the Livonia